Good afternoon, February 16, 2024. Hi, this is your host for Torn It To, your man, Gregory T. Roberts, for this 16th. Man, February 16th already. How are you doing? Let me get my host in here. Pastor Melvin Burns, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Brother Gregory T. How are you?
It's good, man. I got one more week. I want to thank 103.7 WB and M106. We're sponsoring Team 4.
Okay, Team 4.
For Dancing the Stars, raising money for charities and shelters. So Okay. Thank you guys so much. Hey, listen, if you're watching, thank you very much. But if you are listening to the, which a lot of you are, we have to tell you every week, these shows repeat themselves. Unless you get home real soon and you can get to your phone or get to a computer or tablet, and go to Facebook sites 106, M106, or 103.7 to be on Facebook, and you can be part of the conversation as well. My brother, or tell you what, do me a favor.
Yes.
Grab your phone, just like I'm doing. You can go to those sites, like I said, and you can share this to your page so we can give more people involved, because we're the only radio station that does this. So, my brother, what's the weather look like?
Oh, man, weather. It's been some kind of weekend. Today, a few flurries, low of 23, high of 30. Tomorrow, just a little warm, we'll be a low of 28, high of 29. Sunday, low 26, high of 33. Finally, on Monday, the sun is going to peak out a little bit. We'll have a low of 21, high of 37, and it gets better after that. Tuesday is sunny, low 25, high 44. Wednesday, low 33, high 46. And Thursday, a low 26, partly cloudy, and a high of 40.
All right, so there's your weather. Let's see, let's go to the board already. Anthony Miller. Afternoon, gentlemen. Afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon, Anthony.
All right. So our guest today is a first. It's actually a first. Let's talk about it. His name is Gerald Bronson William II. He goes by the name G. Hill. He has a new book out, and let's get him right on right now. Put your hands together for G. Hill. How you doing, sir?
Thank you so much for the introduction.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a blessing to be here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for being here. You have a brand new book out. Before we go into that book, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Gerald Williams, aka G Hill, author of Trapped in the Bando. I'm a Detroit native. Went to Cass Tech High School, attended Wayne State University. And I just have a love for writing. I want to turn my writing into profit.
First of all, you went to Cass Tech. Y'all put some whoopings on us, so we don't want to talk about that. But anyway, you decided that you wanted to write a book. And this book, talk to us, what's the name of the book? And then we'll get into the meaning.
Okay, so it's Trapped in the Bando. It's the first Black zombie story out of Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
Wow. Pastor Burns.
Let's start a little bit of history about yourself. You said you have a love of writing. How did that start?
Going to school. And it's something I always was naturally good at. I always excelled at. Okay. Math, science, I was okay at. But when it come to English, I was always just naturally good at it.
Okay. Can you remember any particular authors you read or anything that just kind of like?
Donald Goins.
Okay. Yep. You mentioned a biography. Okay. Good.
So you decide to write a book in a different style. Like you said, the first one in Detroit ever. What made you go this route?
Well, the concept fit what was going on around me at the time. Because growing up in Detroit, regardless of what type of socioeconomic background you're from, you bound to see certain stuff happen in your community. So trapped in a bando is really a metaphor for people being trapped in a mindset that's counterproductive to their well-being. And people with a vacant mindset, somewhat like a zombie. And at the time, people around me was exhibiting that behavior.
Okay.
So you took it and you took that mindset and put it in like zombies. But in the mindset in Detroit, we have a generation of people that are lost. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, can you repeat the question? Sorry.
I said, would you agree that we have people trapped, lost, yes. Mindset?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the story.
Okay, so trapped in the band will take place of a group of young African-American men within Detroit that's in the middle of a zombie outbreak. And I took somewhat of similar of the past with the whole crack epidemic, you know, within this generation, it's pills. So it's a new pill that's infiltrated the community, which turns people into zombie-like creatures.
That's burns.
Okay. And how long has your book been out?
It's been out since December 16th.
Okay, what kind of feedback are you getting from folks who are reading your book?
It's a mix because it's somewhat of a comedy slash horror, and people just expect to have this more straight gruesome horror, but no, it's actually more of a comedy along with it.
Okay. Now, one of my favorite authors happens to be Elmore Leonard. One of the things I enjoy, I went to school over the area, and he would always sprinkle in these little tidbits of, you know, Detroit, Southfield, the suburbs, you know, in his stories. Can we expect some of that as we read your story? Will we get a sense of the good and bad of Detroit as well?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
You definitely can't expect that.
Let's talk about some of the bad in your thoughts about Detroit and how we change that, and then let's go into the good.
The culture. So in certain parts of Detroit, you get more respect if you are in the streets than if you're not. And that's why it's people who come from families that doesn't necessarily promote that behavior, but because they're under the influence of their outside environment, they fall into that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually one of the concepts in the book.
Okay. Do you see that there's a mix of generational curses that stretch those things?
Yes, the dismantlement of the Black family. Yes. I was blessed to come from a two-parent household, but I'm a minority.
That's burns.
Yeah, you mentioned great the good of Detroit. You know, people for Detroit have this affinity for the city. So tell us about your love and your passion for your city, Detroit.
Detroit is a beautiful city, and it's the people, it's hard working. You have to have ambition growing up in Detroit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Would you agree? Because my many years going down to Detroit, that people do not understand that, regardless of what you've written, that there has been huge progress, but it has a ways to go.
It's been progress in certain areas. In certain areas, it has been a reverse. Like the neighborhood I grew up in, 6 Mile and Daquinta area, it's been gotten worse. But in other areas like downtown, it's gotten better.
Okay. So certain areas having had the effect of what it is, the expansion of Detroit downtown, certain areas haven't benefited from the good that has happened downtown.
Yeah, correct. That's really more.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
More central around like midtown and downtown area, the actual inner city neighborhoods, some are doing better and some are doing worse.
Okay, let's go to the board. Anthony Miller says, go ahead, Pastor Burns.
Anthony Miller says, are you ready to make it a film? Excuse me.
That's my number one priority right now.
Okay.
So you like to make it into a film?
Yes, that's the goal.
Okay. So we talked about, you know, some of the bad mindsets, but people like me, I love Detroit, and a lot of people don't understand there's a lot of good in Detroit. Talk about some of those things, some of those good things in Detroit?
Detroit, I say it's a hardworking people. You definitely need people who have goals and tenacity to pursue those goals. There's also a lot of different nonprofit organizations doing beautiful things in the community, like City Year Detroit. It's a nonprofit that works in Detroit public schools, who I used to be a member of. And I was working 50 hours a week at a Detroit public school teaching kids. Even managed to help one of my students who was held back get placed in the appropriate grade. And you got other programs like the Midnight Golf Program doing beautiful things for the youth in Detroit. Yeah, so it's definitely good things going on in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've talked about some good, some bad, about, and you got some good and bad in every city. So you decided to write a book. You said you love writing, and you decide to attack it a different way and throw a different twist on it. But talk to us a little bit about some of the characters in the book.
Okay, one character, Lo, who is the protagonist, main character. He's somebody who was lost in during the story, grows as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And realize his own mental trauma and how that affected him in his life.
That's the verse.
Okay. I don't know if I caught this. The word bando, is that linked to anything specific?
Yeah, that's slang for an abandoned house.
Oh, okay.
a trap house.
Okay. Yep. Gotcha. Okay. So tell us about your process for writing. Writers talk about, writing every day or inspiration. How did you get started writing this novel, and what was your process for writing it?
Well, I completely redid the novel 4 times. And exactly. At first, I just completely just freestyled. But then I learned about a book called Save the Cat. It's a book on screenwriting. Okay. And it talks about how to properly structure a story. Okay. And that's something I had previously had no knowledge on. So okay. After reading that book, I completely redid it over and over.
Okay. Okay. So it took you four rewrites.
Yep. 4 rewrites. Yep.
And over what period of time did you write the story?
3 years. 3 years. Yes. 2 to 3 years to publish the story.
Okay. Mm-hmm. From starting to getting it published.
Yep.
Okay. And you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay. And so what part are we doing the story? We like to talk to people like yourself. We also like to educate our audience. You know, you're a young man compared to Greg and myself. And so there's the art side of writing, but I'm sure you had to learn the business side of this, getting a book published and those things too. Why don't you talk to some of the other people out there who, as they say, everybody thinks they have a book inside of them. Why don't you kind of speak to other young people, especially people your age, and think maybe they can write a book, you know, the process of getting it printed, getting it published, and what that's like.
Okay, well, luckily in this generation we have Amazon, so that completely made my goal way easier. So it's something called Kindle Direct Publishing. This is where you can just upload a book on Amazon and they will manufacture and ship your book to your customer. They will just deduct the cost of production and you'll keep your profit. So that way you won't have to pay no upfront cost.
Okay.
And also they have Amazon publishing services that do copywriting, whatnot, also editing.
Okay. Do they do your editing also?
Yeah, they do. Okay. Well, I had edited 2 times. I had one editor and on top of that, Amazon edit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you find that helpful? I know, again, I read a lot of books, you know, people starting off, and sometimes you kind of read people's, maybe you need to go back to the other editor. Did you find it helpful? Was it humbling at times?
It was humbling. It was humbling. Yeah.
Was worth it though?
It was definitely.
Yeah.
Talk about some of those experiences, because there might be some people that have goals out there but don't understand that there's going to be some time where somebody might critique or you get humbled. Talk about some of those feelings and or situations that you went through.
Well, criticism is a beautiful thing. Because some criticism is good criticism, constructive criticism. And it really had me go reevaluate how I went about my writing.
Okay.
And the certain feedback I got. And even though it was some contrast, because some of the slang that I used, the editor didn't understand that was slang, so they thought it was a typo, but I actually intended for it to be that.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
All right, let's go back to the board. Let's burn.
Anthony Miller says, I'm wondering how Amazon handled the Ebonics translation.
Yeah, so you have to sit with them and explain to them each by each. Like I said, that's why it took a long amount of time doing the editing process, because it kept on being revised. cut this, keep this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So who was in your, as you were writing, you know, and you know, you're young man, you started this at 21, 22, who were the people with kind of encouraging you along the way and like kind of keeping you motivated?
Actually, people who I grew up with. Because they understood the meaning behind it, and they were so eager for me to publish it.
Okay.
Family too.
Yeah, give some shout out right now to some of those people that inspired you.
I want to first thank my father, Gerald Williams, the first. Without him, I probably would not be in this situation. I would not have this book published. So God thank him. The friends I grew up with on the east side of Detroit, shout out to the whole east side. Love y'all. Shout out to Cass Technical High School for establishing that good education writing skills in me.
Okay.
So, wow. Anthony Miller again says he's proud of you, GL.
Thank you.
No, let's talk about that their early experience at Cass Tech when you other people fall by the wayside. What kept you straight and focus on what G Hill, the best for G Hill?
Wanting to be great. I always wanted to do something great in life. And I knew I had to live up to that expectation. This wasn't going to fall out the sky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Best verse.
Okay. In your writing, I'm sorry, I'm having a tough time breathing. I'm getting over a cold. In your writing, did you, were any of your characters kind of loosely based on people you know?
Yes. There's some of them was. But okay. Not too exact.
And now that you have the book completed, talk about the process, you know, people write books. Talk about the process of you getting this, you know, your book out there in the people's hands, people read it. What are the things you have planned to have people find out about your book?
So right now I'm learning as I go about social media marketing.
Okay.
Social media right now is my main platform of marketing just because it's so feasible for you to reach a large target audience.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to learn social media marketing, Instagram, TikTok. TikTok is probably one of the biggest platforms right now. And I'm learning how to properly monetize that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you have Facebook, you got all these media sites and all this stuff. Is there been one thing that has worked more? Like you said, did TikTok work better than Facebook? Word of mouth? What has worked best for you to get your book out?
Instagram.
Okay.
Connecting with different promotional pages on Instagram, having them promote my book on their page.
Okay.
So that way I could grab their audience. That's I know because of based on their target audience, they will be more likely to buy my book than the other one.
Okay, who would you think would be your targeted audience?
Urban fiction readers.
Okay. What age?
Black urban fiction readers. Primarily okay. Women, because technically women, statistically women buy more fictional novels than men.
Really?
Yes.
All those love stories.
Yeah.
Hey. You've been married too long, Greg. I knew that off the bat. You've been married too long.
Yeah. No, you said, you know, I ain't touched that one. GL. So you come out with this book. Why are you writing the book? Talk about staying focused and blinding up, keeping the noise away, the people, the haters, and people that trying to discourage you. Talk about that process.
I love the haters. Haters is really admiration in disguise, because if you didn't have nothing to hate on, they wouldn't be hating.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, go to say that again. Go to preach, because you preach good. Say it again. Tell people.
Hating is really admiration in disguise, because if you didn't have nothing to hate on, they wouldn't be hating.
Wouldn't have nothing to say. All right.
Y'all hear that, people? Yeah, I got to deal with the people that try to discourage you in a different light. Pastor Burns.
So someone buys your book and they read it. What is it you want readers to come away saying to you or feeling once they read your story?
Pay attention to the characters and how they carry themselves, and think about why they carry themselves in that manner.
Okay.
Okay. Pay attention to character development within the story.
Okay. Yeah. I know you mentioned a lot of times research. You seem like you're very meticulous. You know, you spend a lot of time researching and studying things as you get into the process. Has that been vital for you? And again, not just as writing, but there's a whole process from your conceptual idea to having your final product out and people trying to read it. But you talk about the necessity of doing research.
Yes, research is definitely important. That's really what delayed me on publishing it, because I wanted to publish it, but how was I going to sell it? Okay. And before I had the mindset of I had to have a clear, concise marketing plan before I publish it. But sometimes that could cause you to procrastinate fulfilling your goal.
Okay.
So that, I think that's part of the reason why it took me so long to publish, because I was so focused on the marketing and how I'm going to sell it.
Okay. So there's a balance somewhere between the side that wants to get the story out, but at the same time, I got to have a real strategy for doing it.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Talk to our viewers and our listeners and all the people that about that procrastination that you just kind of want to slip off on some days and not stay focused.
Procrastination is the number one killer of dreams. And sometimes you have to just jump the gun and release whatever you won't have in your mind. Don't get me wrong, you still have to come up with a plan on how the best way to do it. But sometimes planning prevents performance.
You speaking more than a 25-year-old does. we're talking about people like your father. Talk about some more people that were inspirations in your life.
My teachers. I used to be in martial arts, so my martial arts instructor was a big major influence in my life. It's so many people, it's hard to name. I was blessed to have different influence from different groups of people.
And how important is that in your in the character of how you develop into who you are?
No, it's great. If it wasn't for the influences of other people, well, positive influence, even negative, I would not be the person who I am today.
Let's get deep for a second, and then we'll get back in the book. Tell people about who True G Hill is. Talk about who you are. What makes you? What makes you tick?
That's a good one. I'm a nephew. I'm an uncle. I'm a future New York Times bestselling author.
One thing
I'll say about me is I always had a goal of doing something, accomplishing something great in my life. So I have tried to pursue different avenues. Like, I tried to start a clothing brand before, which I still have plans on bringing back. I had a goal of starting my own business within the education field. I went to Harrisburg State University, HBCU, studying a degree in early child education. Just the want to be something great.
Talk to people right now, people that are listening, that have those dreams, but just not inspired to do something great. Talk to those people about stepping up to the next level.
You have to be your own biggest motivation. You have to be your own head coach. You have to wake up every day and wanting it and understand every day you don't pursue that goal, the longer it will take you to manifest that goal.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. You have some goals. You said you'd like to make this into a movie. Do we see other books from you coming out in the future?
Oh, yeah. I'm releasing two more books this year. One in July, one in Halloween.
Okay. All right. So you're going to release two more books this year?
No, yes, sir.
And you just released this one a couple months ago?
Yes, I can actually give you a preview of the next two. The next one will be called The Movers. It's another Black urban horror story that takes place in Detroit, Michigan, that follows a group of Black-owned moving company. Mm-hmm. That's just the only appetizer I'm going to give y'all. And second book will be Part 2, The Trapped in the Bando. Trapped in the Bando Part 2.
Okay.
All right. Moving shaker here. Yeah. Spurs.
Why the horror genre? Why'd you choose that genre to write in?
I always was a horror fan. The Conjuring, Candyman, The Evil Dead was some of my favorite movies growing up. Okay. And that was something I feel like Black people was underrepresented in. Even to this day, Jordan Peele is probably about the only Black director I know that have any Black horror movies.
Yeah. And would you say even when he does his movies, they're sort of misunderstood or hard for people to kind of grasp, you know, because he has a lot of elements. I agree with you, underrepresented area that we watch a lot of those movies, but underrepresented in terms of writing, producing, putting out there. But it's interesting you're kind of pushing the barrier for something you're interested in.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go to the board. Rhonda Arbery, congratulations.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Okay, so you got books coming out. You want to get back to your clothing. What are some of your long-term goals that you see? Where do you see G Hill at? 35, 45, 55? What's going to be your plan?
Ooh, make the New York Times bestseller list. That's my number one goal.
Okay.
And to later, I'm actually thinking about going into film, going to film school, because writing and film go hand in hand.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, you want your book to become a movie. Is that a different style of writing as you write your novel with the idea that it become a movie versus just writing a novel?
Yes.
Okay. And tell us about the differences.
For one, the structure. Okay. The structure of a screenplay is completely opposite from the structure of a novel.
Is that right?
Completely different. And you actually have to self-teach yourself the structure of a screenplay. Okay. It's nothing like writing a novel. Actually, it's completely opposite.
Okay. Give us a couple examples of how it's different so our listeners know, or people that are viewing. What are some of the difference?
Well, for one, you have to describe the setting first, then go into the dialogue. Whereas if you're writing a novel, you're just directly telling the story and go both hand to hand. But no, it's really more abstract of just what's the setting, what's the time, what's the date, and then you have to then put in the dialogue.
Okay. You talked about Peele. Name some other directors, some other people out there in film or in writing that have inspired you.
Oh, of course, the legend Spike Lee and Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yeah. Two of my favorite. Let's go to Spike Lee. What would you think it was his best work so far?
Do the Right Thing.
Oh, excellent. Pass Burns.
Okay. So you said you got your other two. Now the other two novels, are you working on them or are they finished? Or what stages are they in?
Right now I'm halfway done through the first one. I have not begun the second one. The Part 2 of Trapped in the Bando.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you think of that one, do you have like notes you write or things? I got to make sure I get this. And in old days, I used to have the writer's notebook, but do you have on the second part of Trapped in the Bando, have you started notes on it or you got ideas what you want to include in it already?
Yes. I actually did a timeline for it to have it properly published and distributed before Halloween. Okay. And I also did a template of how I want each chapter to go.
And how often do you write?
Every day now.
Okay. I always ask you, because I always hear people say you got to write something every day. You know, you got to get something down every day. Okay.
Do you got a question going to Anthony Minner? Says, have you heard of the Sundance Film Festival?
I heard of it, but I'm not familiar with it.
Okay.
It's one of those, you know, as people get a lot of the independent films, especially, you know, and that's one of the more popular places where people go and, you know, and review their films. I don't know the whole process, but none of those places, a lot of times films will get previewed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You said Sundance Festival?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to write that down.
Yeah. And there's a lot, and now with so many more independent films, there's a lot more of those festivals, no places where you get opportunity to show independent film, you know, because ideally, you know, you'd love to have your movie bought by a studio, but it may not, you know, it may or may not go that way, and you may not want to do it that way. So
I think about doing animation
for is the that right? novel. Okay, that'd be different.
Yeah, so, that.
Are you into anime?
I am.
Okay, so my daughter's into this, you know, she's 23. I don't get it. They just look like bad cartoons to me, but she'll come on and spend 20 minutes telling me about something happening. I pretend like I'm getting it, but or I'll sit there when she's watching something. But that's also a growing industry, especially among young African Americans, from my understanding, just the lid is coming off of in terms of. Yeah. We thought with bad cartoons, but it's a really tremendously growing industry.
Wait, so let's go back to the boy and Anthony Minner. I'm pretty sure Detroit has a film festival. It does.
That's okay.
Okay. All right. So you got into writing this book. It took you 4 years to write this book, and then all of a sudden the switch is now on. You go. You're ambitious. Do you see anything, any blocks that will stop you, and how will you achieve, get over those blocks?
As of now, none. I mean, I'm on pace to do exactly what I set out to do.
Mm-hmm. But we want to, like we said, Pastor Burns said, we like to educate the people that watch the show and listen to the show.
Okay.
What makes you have a drive? You got this get up and go. But a lot of people just don't necessarily have what you have. Talk about that get up and go, and maybe you can motivate other people to do it.
Well, the way I look at it, you only have one life to live, and we all have the same 24 hours. So you only have two options. You can either waste them or invest them. And I've already invested mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said the investment. Talk about and how, what did it cost, or how'd you get money to get that book published and go through the right channels?
Well, thankfully with Amazon, the price was actually very low. The biggest cost was the copyright. And the copyright, because I went direct through Amazon, I had somebody else professional do it, it was $500. And that was really the only major cost.
Okay.
Really,
you're paying the cost as you sell each book, each unit.
Yep, and I designed my own book cover, so the only cost I really had was a copyright.
Okay. Speaking of which, do you have a copy of the book there?
I sure do.
Yeah, we do. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I looked it up today.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So you got these characters in the house, and you got the zombies. I want to just break that down in the scenarios that you talk about. You got good parts of Detroit and you got bad parts. What is the thing that make people be in that zombie mindset? What would you think?
Okay, I could give you an example from the actual story. Okay. So it's one person, one individual within the story. He's somebody who come from a very well-mannered family. Really had no business being involved in any type of street activity. But because mm-hmm. he was under the influence of his counterparts who was involved into that type of lifestyle, he fell into it and bad things happened to him. So okay. him being wanting to be something is not, it's him being trapped in a mindset that's counterproductive to his well-being.
That's deep. And how many times did you see that actually happen in life? Because I see that people being at the wrong place at the wrong time.
I see that so much in Detroit. I saw it pretty much my whole childhood growing up in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
Zombies. Is you know, is that the draw of zombies? Is kind of this idea of people can easily relate them to their environment and people who kind of like going through life and not? I mean, zombies seem to be popular. You know, the TV shows you mentioned. What is the attraction to zombies?
For one, they're still actual people.
Okay.
So it kind of gives the reader an attachment to an actual person, as well as supernatural.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But as an author, you're able to play around with both those aspects.
Yes. Yes.
My thing is that I don't want it to be a Detroit thing, because actually we have zombies all over the place. Yeah. I mean we do, right?
Yeah.
We have people that mindset or whatever, and that exists everywhere, and we need to break that mindset. Would you agree or disagree, Mr. Hill?
Agree.
Okay. How do we change this whole thing, this zombie thing?
You talking about literally in the story, like figuratively with real people?
Yes.
For one, acknowledgement. A lot of people don't even understand that their mindset is their own biggest enemy.
Woo.
So for one, acknowledgement, bringing light to it.
Going to the board, Pastor Burns.
Anthony Miller says, amen.
And then Rhonda.
Rhonda Aubrey says, so it's a little empowering and educational point of change.
Yeah, talk about the educational part of the end of your story.
Okay, so the end of the story, the main character starts to realize how his actions, for one, affects other people. Mm-hmm. As well as his own future, as well as how his mindset was triggered by past mental trauma that held his mind hostage.
Okay.
There's a lot of mental trauma going on in the Black community that I'm happy people are now starting to talk about, because before, mental health in the Black community was not really talked about, even considered soft, maybe, some people might say. So that ties into it.
That's worse.
Okay. So you got a young man's got a lot to say here. So you talked about some of the platforms that your TikTok, Instagram for getting your book out there. Do you have any in-person events lined up, interviews or place, I'm old school, I like book readings, those kind of things. You have any of those type of events lined up?
Yes, I'm actually having a book signing. We're planning on having a book sign right now. I'm just order a surplus of wholesale copies. So right now I'm trying to find a proper venue to have this event at.
Okay.
Send us some information. Maybe we will take a trip down to see it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So are you a book person? I know we got Kindle, I got my iPad, but I'm just old. So I like the paper.
I'm a book person. Books.
I like to write notes in my margins. Are you a book person?
I'm a book person.
Okay. Yeah. It says when I'm flying or something, I'll take my Kindle and I can flip and I don't have to carry a book. But when it's something I really want to enjoy, I need the paper. You know, and I need to break that binder and get it bit. You know. Mm-hmm.
25 years old and such drive and such vigor. The other 25-year-olds that are sitting up and falling into that zombie trap when they can be so much more. Like you said, you wanted to do something great and you're in just an inspiration. But talk to those other 25-year-olds that are just right now doing nothing.
It's sad to see. So much time wasting, just sad.
Mm-hmm.
I would advise them, anybody that's 25, that's around my age, that want to accomplish something grand, actually have the ambition to do it, do it. Do not waste your time or your talent. Because that's one thing you cannot get back.
You mentioned a little bit about this, but how important is it to be around the right people when you're trying to achieve your dreams?
Very important. Very important. You are who you hang around.
That's burnt.
Yeah. I think to go to what Greg said, you know, you're 25 and Greg and I were older, and you can say things to young people, but, you know, and you sound like you're, you know, you're headed to success. And so what you'll find is it kind of puts you in certain positions. Maybe you didn't see coming, but the fact that you're 25, you know, I believe success is right around the corner for you, you know, that you will have to, you know, people are going to ask you, what do you say to people your age? What do you say to young people? Not just about success, the idea of reading. You know, reading is lost on a lot of people nowadays. How do we get people to read versus sometimes sitting in front of a screen? And so those would be the kind of things I think you'll be preparing yourself that people will be asking you those things. G Hill, how do we get, you know, those 18 to 30 year olds to read instead of and put down the game controllers? Those types of things. How do we, you know, you have a love of reading. How do we get people beyond, you know, you say TV is fine, movies are fine, but how do we get people back interested in the love of printed word?
For one, promote books that people like. Okay. And I feel like sometimes within the urban Black community, a lot of books that are out is not written for people in that demographic. Mm-hmm. And if it is, it's under-promoted and under-marketed, so they don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Very good point. Okay, so again, you write this, you have plans for two more books. You would like to see film. I'm just inspired about your drive. But I want to go back to the zombies, though. I want to talk about that mindset, because people, some people are just stuck and refuse to leave that mindset. Any advice to those people?
Cause and effect. Every action have a reaction, and the more positive actions you do, the more of a positive reaction you have. And more of a negative actions you do, the more of a negative reaction you have. So there's cause and effect.
Okay. Cause and effect. I won't go deep, because everybody has an excuse. I don't hear any excuses from you. I hear, I'm just going to get it done. But a lot of people, there's an excuse why they don't get that drug. They don't get those dreams accomplished.
One of the biggest things is because they look at their dream as a dream instead of an actual goal. A dream is only a thought until you actually make it a plan. Then it becomes a goal.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burke.
Do not look at your dreams as a dream, but look at them as an actual goal and realize, and this comes from one of my favorite books, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. It says that the human mind will never conceive something it does not have the ability to achieve. So any goal that you have in your dream, you have in your mind, you have the potential to grasp it. It is up to you to manifest it.
Wow. Let's go to the board. Anthony Miller says, what's his Facebook name? Well, if
I'm not on Facebook, but you can find me on Instagram at official_G_Hill, as well as TikTok.
Okay.
Say that again so we get that.
Yep, my ad name is official_G_Hill.
Okay.
All right. So it's 2:44 on this kind of blase day, but we're talking to G Hill, the Detroit area. Do you see yourself staying in Michigan writing, or do you see yourself like going to LA, New York, or whatever? Do you still see yourself staying in the Midwest?
As of right now, I do plan on relocating. I'm not exactly sure where, but this will always be my home.
Okay. All right. Pastor Burke.
Yeah. You mentioned your father earlier. Talk about the influence, you know, that your parents had on you and drive they placed in you to, you know, to kind of want to, you know, help frame your minds. Obviously, they somewhere along they instilled in you this love of reading. So talk about their influence a little bit.
Well, my father, he's a Prince R. Freemason. So with that being said, I always had a certain level of expectations to have high moral characters, as well as achieving something. So with that being said, the thought of not achieving something was never really in my mind.
How important, I want to go and talk about a little bit about accepting that information that the parents are trying to hand down to you, instead of trying to necessarily boss you around, but give you knowledge to make you successful.
Well, I would never say they never really bossed me around. Particularly, they just always had very high expectations, and that motivated me to live up to those expectations.
Give us a few of those high expectations that they wanted in your life.
Well, for one thing my father always told me growing up, never be a follower, always be a leader. That's one. Two, academics. Both of my parents, my mom and my father, was very big on academics. So growing up, having mediocre grades wasn't tolerated.
You had the benefit of having your mother and father in the household. Speak, and number one, how important was that? And two, what do you say to people that don't necessarily have both?
It was very important because, you know, within the Black community, that's almost very unheard of and within this generation. So that was a major part. And for the people who don't have, was blessed to have come from a two-parent household, that may put you at a disadvantage, but that's part of life. It's always going to be somebody who have more or less than you. But that doesn't mean that to deter you from your success.
There you go. There you go. So you can come out of a single parent home and be just as successful as you want to be.
Yep. It's people come from single parent homes who have accomplished way more than me, and people have accomplished, became multi-millionaires.
Wow. Pastor Burns.
Yeah. I was listening to the thing just before the Grammys, and they were talking about Billy Joel, and he was saying how he hadn't written a song in years. You know, it was just gone. Most recent song you put out, but talk about what it's like when you know, you say you write every day. I'm sure some days you're more motivated than others, but how do you get yourself going when you sit there and you're staring at a screen or a piece of paper and you want to get some words there? How do you get yourself going?
I read other books for inspiration.
Okay. I heard right now, Giovanni say the same thing about 40 years ago. And well, you mentioned Dr. Boyd. So who are some other people that you'd like to read?
Ralph Ellison, he's a older author. Mm-hmm. He was around like James Baldwin, Langston Hughes area.
Okay.
And I also read Robert Greene, The 48 Laws of Power, Laws of Human Nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But one book I always read over and over, I've read this book about 5 times now, front to back, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. That book is like the Bible of success for me.
Well, I'm trying to think of the author that what is his name? They did like Think and Grow Rich, a Black choice. He kind of did like a take on it.
Robert Kiyosaki.
No. It's Black. It's a Black author. It's called Think and Grow Rich, a Black choice. I think what it's called, but I cannot think of his name right now. But I had a chance to hear him speak down in Chicago a couple of years ago. And he kind of took Napoleon Hill's principles and kind of added a spin on it for Black people. But it was really good. Probably Napoleon Hill's probably one of those people, again, for people to say they will be successful. Not many people 25, unless they're trying to go somewhere, are reading, but again, highly recommended reading. You know, and I think again, for somebody of age to be able to recommend, you know, if you're serious, it should be on your bookshelf somewhere, you know. That's a tremendous, I'm impressed I say know that that's one of your reading materials.
I see that eventually in some years we're going to see you on that list. What, when you accomplish that goal, what do you think your feelings would be to be on the top sellers list?
What's the next goal? After you knock down one goal.
I knew he was going to say that. I knew that's what he was going to say.
He's on it. He's on it. Yeah. What is the next goal? That's nice. That's nice.
So without saying any names, have you ever seen somebody's book on the list and you read it, they kind of go, I don't know how this made the list.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Hey, we have some commercial authors out there that people say they're not even writing their own books. They're prolific, but and I read a couple of them, you know, like I could read them on a flight between here and South Carolina in about 2 hours, and they're like book fast food.
So it's 2:51. We have 9 minutes. So let's talk about how can people get to this book. Well, first of all, before that, we talk about that. I'm a writer. How do I start if I want to be a writer and write a book?
How do I start? Sit down and do your writing. Writing is really just writing. Sitting down and actually writing. Mm-hmm. And I would advise anybody that want to get into writing to read a book, Save the Cat. It's a book on screenwriting. Mm-hmm. And it will tell you about how to properly structure the three-act structure, as well as the whole A story, B story thing. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that what made me have to redo my book. Because the book Save the Cat is talking about how every story have a moral story behind it. You mm-hmm. have the main story and actual metaphor behind the story. And that's one thing that I feel like I didn't properly convey in the first initial draft. Mm-hmm.
You said the 3-act story?
Yep, a 3-act story. Yep, that's basically the story structure.
Okay.
It's 3 acts that pretty much all stories, the beginning, okay. middle, end, and each okay. one plays a pivotal role.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have you ever taken any I know my pastor friend here, he's a writer, and he's done a couple like online, you know, or on Zoom type writer workshops. Have you ever done any of those?
I haven't, but that's a good idea. I'll have to do that.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the author. Some I think it's like Stephen King, I believe. I don't know if it's online or some kind of little course thing you follow, but you know, we talk about it periodically. But he's done a couple of those. I don't know if they were Zoom or just like a set course, but you know, what I find is though that there's people willing to share information. You know, like they're not trying to keep it a secret, you know, that they'll show material and share, you know, their different approaches. But there's probably not one size fits all. I'm fascinated by it. I mean, I love, I'm a reader. I'm not a writer per se, but I love reading authors, you know, and their approaches and reading about stories. So I'm looking forward to, I guess I'm going to have to venture into the horror genre. Not one of my first choices, but I'm going to have to dabble and kind of check out your book and see where it goes here.
It's the best book you ever read.
Okay, I'm gonna let you know.
All right, let's go to the board, Rhonda Aubrey.
Rhonda Aubrey says you can also train people in the mindset of failure.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is.
How do we train people with that mindset?
For one, having negative reinforcement, shutting down people's dreams, killing people's dreams before they even get the chance to even start it.
Okay, so 2:54, we got 6 minutes. Okay, so now let's talk about, okay, let's go back to Anthony Miller. Go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. G Hill, congratulations. I'm looking forward to hearing more from you. Everyone have a blessed weekend. Thank you, Anthony. Right. You do the same.
Right. Thank you, you too.
All right. So, all right, let's talk to people. How do we get that book?
Yep, so you can go on Amazon, Trapped in the Bando, written by Gerald Brunson Williams, and it will pop up. It should be a first selection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, that's Trapped in the Bando, written by G. Hill. I mean, Gerald Brunson Williams, and it will type in. I mean, it will be a first selection. And it's available only on Amazon, ebook and paperback copy.
Okay. That's funny because I typed it up and I looked up and that was the only way I saw that. That's the only way you could get to it.
Okay.
Cool. So when you write those other books, will you come on and get us a little taste of those books?
Oh, definitely. You'll be the first person I contact.
Okay. Do you find yourself, when you're writing, writing a story, getting ahead of yourself, when you know what the ending is, and you find yourself writing a little too fast, and you got to slow down to build that structure, make sure that there's a full structure from beginning to end, that it flows well?
I will continue to keep writing because I never know what might be a good idea or a bad idea. And so I will continue to write and then go ahead and reevaluate if I should keep it or not.
That's good. So if it makes the book or it hits the floor.
Yep.
Okay. Pastor Burns.
Yeah, just exciting stuff. Just looking forward to hearing so much more from you. Title of the book is Trapped in the Bando, which again, I learned today, a bando was means. Did you know that already, Greg?
It's Trap House, baby.
Did you read that or did you know that before today?
Yeah, I didn't know it.
Okay.
I got educated today. I was going, what?
Okay. You can't be hipper than me. There ain't no way.
Wait a minute. I was just like, when I typed it up, I got three amigos. I was like, what the heck?
Tell me, Jahil, I come to Detroit. Tell me three things I should do if I come down and visit Detroit this summer.
One, you have to stop at the Crab House, best restaurant in Detroit.
Okay.
Two, I would advise, you say summertime, the Lions or the Pistons gonna be playing. You have to get see the Riverwalk. That's one. The Riverwalk is beautiful now.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. What's the best thing to do in Detroit? I would say go check the Fox Theater out.
Oh yeah.
I've done two of the three. Well, I've done all three. I've been to Lions game. I haven't been to Fox in a while, but it's beautiful in there. Yeah. All right.
So GL, once again, tell everybody how they can get that book. How they can get you on Facebook. Now, you said you met on Facebook, but Instagram, TikTok, give all that information. Sell yourself right now.
Yep. I want to say thank everybody for tuning in. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @officialg_hill. That's @officialg_hill. And you can purchase a copy of the book only on Amazon, Trapped in a Bando, written by Gerald Brunson Williams.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right, sir. You have a great weekend. God bless you. Take care. And thank you for representing Detroit.
All right. Thank you for having me. It was a blessing talking to you all.
All right. You take care now.
All right. You take care.
In the future.
You too. Have a good one.
Fine. Have you ever heard or seen anybody with that much inspiration at 25?
Impressive young man. Just, we get on here and we talk to people sometime and we can see it. He's not just a writer. And he's gonna be a movie director, but he's 25. He's so versed, well versed. You know, I'm impressed. I just see it. I just see people are gonna be talking to him more. You know,
Anthony Miller, amazing brother. Yes, he was.
Yes, just very impressed. So,
well, listen, hey man, that goes to show again. Listen, you know. I know what I normally usually say, but don't judge a book by a cover. Stop placing labels on people.
Okay.
You know what you can do in Black history? Get to know me. Stop judging me.
Yeah.
Get to know me. You might end up having a friend for life. Any last words on that?
I'm gonna just say amen to that, brothers. Black History Month. I've been so excited for Black History Month. I'm doing my Black History Month sermon this Sunday. I love talking about our people and our story.
Tell people where they can see you.
Again, I co-pastor City Heart Ministries. 2640 Peck Street. This Sunday, we'll be doing our Black History Celebration. So we get off and we get back to working on my message. I'm going to be talking about, this week, I'm going to be talking about the intersection between religious movements and, so for instance, we had a Great Awakening going on, what's going on, like abolition, slave movement. So I'm going to kind of tie those two together, talk about a couple of the early ministers in the 17th, 18th century.
Amen, brother. God bless you. Listen, go sow a seed in somebody's life. You never know who you might touch. Take care. God bless you. We'll see you next week on Torn Into.
All right, brother.